climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
Joining me in studio right now is Representative Josh Wheeler from District 35B. Josh, thank you so much for being here in studio.
Jolynn, happy to be here. Yeah, it's a lovely day to be inside, I guess.
It is a lovely day to be inside. Well, Representative, you just wrapped up a session. What would you say was the highlight of this session for you?
Yeah, great question. I mean, in some ways, this was a historic session. We saw some things happen that we've never seen happen before in state history. But for me, the highlight is probably House Bill 521. And you probably have heard other legislators talk about it. But that's the bill where we set up the school modernization and maintenance fund. And I think that is going to end up in some property tax relief, in some income tax relief, and I think it's going to serve our school districts better. What it does is it takes 3% of sales tax dollars from the state and uses the state's bonding capacity to then get a better rate and then push those bonded funds out to the school district. So we're talking the tune of $1 billion in the next 10 years that will go out to every school district around the state. And that's going to mean repairs. That's going to mean it's easier to get new facilities done. And that's going to mean less asks for bonds and less property tax by our local property taxpayers. So I think that's a big deal, and it's something that we've needed for some time. You know, the state's responsibility is to help provide that free, fair, thorough, and common education opportunity for all of our citizens and students.
And over the last several years, we've seen some of the issues that have been going on as school districts can't get a bond passed, and schools are aging and needing repairs, and schools are bursting at the seams. So what a victory to have something that's going to ensure that we can repair the buildings and get new buildings where needed.
Yeah, I think so. And I tell people often, I'm a proud Idahoan, you know, born and raised here. And this is, of course, my freshman year as a legislator, but it has really opened my eyes to a lot of important things about the state. But I tell you what, our school districts, our students, our parents and families, they are scrappy and creative, and they are going to find the way to do the best they can with what they've been given. But yeah, we need to do better. And I think that we are doing better, which I'm encouraged to see.
I echo that. As a mom, I just am so appreciative of the great teachers that my kids had over the years. And I literally watched them step outside the box to reach each kid. And I think that's something to celebrate.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one of the other things that I've been really excited about that happened in my first term, one of the bills I was privileged to sponsor was the Career Ready Student Program. And what that bill did is in our K-12 school program, it created an additional grant for our career technical education programs. And so that meant that school districts throughout the state could apply for these grants to either help maintain existing CTE programs or stand up new, you know, creative CTE programs. And we've seen some really great solutions already coming from that. Down in Soda Springs, they got a $350,000 plus grant to stand up a new auto mechanic facility behind their high school where kids are going to learn, you know, that hands-on kind of education. And up in Sugar Salem, they actually got a grant worth over $2 million to build a regional career technical education program. And the reason that's important to me is they're going to serve kids in Teton County that'll bus into that CTE program. So I'm very passionate about seeing the kids have those kind of educational opportunities, because I think it connects them to a purpose in a way that they haven't before. And there are a lot of kids that it serves that might not have been that, you know, 40-ish percent that goes on to college. And all of a sudden, they'll have connected to skills that will push them to other post-secondary education opportunities. So that's some of the things that we've done in the education space that I'm really encouraged by.
Right. Not every kid, you know, fits in the same box. So exciting to see that there are going to be some additional opportunities for kids to find their niche and really thrive.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the other things that I was able to do this year, it's kind of in the same vein. We passed a bill called the Skills-Based Hiring Bill. This is House Bill 433. And it said to our state agencies, when you're hiring, you don't use a diploma as a screening tool. You need to have skills-based parameters, and that's why you hire. And I think that's going to widen the hiring pool that we have in the state, and it's going to tell kids who don't go on to college, who go on to technical, whether they go to get a CDL or a welding certificate, or maybe they get an IT certification, it's going to make them more employable and make them better connected to the community, to their education, and just long-term success.
And at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. Representative Wheeler, there's been some kind of friction within the Republican Party. What do you think, from your perspective, it's going to take to bridge some of those gaps?
That's a great question. And, you know, I think we look back at our founding history, right? And you remember in that Constitutional Convention, those good founding fathers sat together for months and they did not agree on everything, right? They had long and storied arguments that resulted in the Constitution that we have today, and how grateful I am for that. But the point is, you know, one of my legislative mentors has said on multiple occasions something I really appreciate. And she says, reasonable people can disagree. And I think our founders showed us that. You know, the Constitution is often called the Great Compromise, right? And they showed us that they could disagree and they could come out with a better product because of it. So I think as Republicans, when we remember that and take that back to heart and recognize that if someone doesn't agree with us 100%, they're still a committed Republican, and we want to welcome them either back into the fold, or we want to encourage them to continue working for, you know, fiscally conservative policies, to continue working for pro-family policies, to continue helping just build our great state and community. Because, I mean, you know as well as any of us, Jolynn, one of the things that we're facing as a state is growth.
Growth is, yes.
If we don't grow responsibly, if we can't, you know, come to some concession and get over these loggerheads that we're up against, we're going to be hurting in a few years because we're not adapting at the local level in the way that we need to. So that's some of what I think. You know, it'll be going back to Reagan's big tent philosophy, I think.
Mm-hmm. I love that wisdom. Reasonable people can disagree. And I think we'd all do well to remember that sometimes, because we're in this time where people just want to shut down and not engage with people who don't see the world exactly as they do.
Well, you know, one of the things that has been most encouraging for me, you know, I'm not a lifelong politician. I was born and raised in this area. I'm an electrical contractor by trade, and I got involved because I wanted to give back to my community. But one of the things that I have loved when I get to go out and campaign, as I'm doing right now, you know, for the May 21st primary, is you get to go talk to people face to face. And that is such a better interaction than what we see on social media, right? Because those platforms are really designed to kind of just agitate us.
Yes.
When you go talk face to face, you realize how much we have in common, that, oh, you care about your kids and grandkids. You care about your schools. You care about, you know, supporting your police and firefighters because we want to have safe, strong communities. And so basically about 9 in every 10 doors that I knock on, I walk away from with a spring in my step because I see how many good Idahoans I am representing.
I love that. When we lean in and we get curious, some magical things happen. Representative Wheeler, how can people learn more about you and your campaign?
Yeah, the best way to find out about me is probably my website, Wheeler for Idaho. You can also find me on Facebook, obviously. That'll show some of my platforms. It'll show some of what I'm up to, obviously. And most importantly, I would say go to voteidaho.gov so that you know where is your polling location, so that you're ready to vote on May 21st. And if you're going to be out of town, figure out how to get your absentee ballot at that same website, voteidaho.gov. I hope to see a really good turnout this May 21st, Jolynn.
I hope so too. Representative Josh Wheeler, representative from District 35B, thanks so much for stopping by the studio.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.